Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
Took us when I hit the ground. In the black, a dog that's been beat too much till you spend half.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
Victim of love, not so far. Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Anelli.
I'm Lewis Wright.
I'm Bradley Middleton.
How is everybody?
I'm all right, thank you. I haven't been here last week. Had a couple of interviews to do, but otherwise all good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Everybody all right?
Yeah, not bad,
thank you, yeah.
We do have a very special guest in the studio today, an old friend of Sheffield Live, the one and only Josh Gollidge. How are you, Josh?
Oh, good, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back, guys.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit of time, yeah. But yeah.
Can't remember the last time you were in the studio, actually. Yeah, it was a good few months ago now.
Yeah, I think I was promoting the Steel Frog, Stupid Loves, Stay Single, that was a while ago.
Yes, that was the one, I believe.
I've been tuning in. I've been listening to Sheffield Live, as
always. I hope you've enjoyed the shows.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys having a chat, all the songs. I'm always on there Shazamming all the tunes coming on track live. It's really nice.
Brilliant. We are, well, our very own Chris will be interviewing you in just a short while, but I just thought we'd explain the first three songs to play that we played. Yeah. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, 42 years since the album came out on this day.
Really? No way.
42 years, yeah. The Eagles, Victim of Love. I saw an Eagles tribute band last week and I promised I'd play some Eagles. There's a bit of a funny story with this one. The original vocals were recorded by Don Felder. Don Henley did not like the vocals, took their manager out to take him to lunch. Don Henley re-recorded the whole vocals behind his back.
Yeah, I
did.
They
didn't know how to tell him and didn't want to hurt his feelings, but I think that hurts more just doing it behind someone's back.
Still got a great tune out of it, and a great album nonetheless.
And just thought we'll throw some Police in there with Walking on the Moon, which has a great bass.
It's iconic, isn't it?
Iconic. But without further ado, I'm going to hand you over to Chris and, fire away with your questions.
Hi, Josh. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, mate. It's good to be back.
So, thank you for coming back. And we're going to talk to you about your new single because you've got a new single that you want to play for us. So, tell us a bit more about the new single.
Yeah, well, it's actually... So, this is the debut single from our new band, Café Totem.
Right.
Which is, it's a bit of a... Well, it's a bit of a Sheffield collaboration group as a start, I'd say. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of the band Juno. They played around a lot in Sheffield. But I became mates with them, especially with the guitarist Andy. I only went to their last gig, actually. And basically they deformed and they wanted to start a new project. And they were looking for a new drummer. So Andy got in touch with me. And we started putting things together, and it's a bit more jazz soul-y kind of style. We've got Christian Snellgrove, who was our saxophone player and producer. He's on the saxophone, and it's like that really runs it. So our new tune, Beside You, it's got the saxophone as like the key melody line, and it's quite a bit smooth, and then all kind of builds as a bit of a climax. Café Totem, it's named after the bar and venue. I don't know if did you hear about the old venue, Café Totem?
Yes.
It rings a bell.
So the rest of the band all met there at Café Totem. And it's actually Tufty's place, who runs Sydney Matilda. Obviously he lost it when he started Sydney Matilda, but the boys went and asked him, oh, is it alright if we name the band Café Totem after your venue? And he was like, yeah, of course you can, guys, don't worry about it. And there's a bit of a funny thing, actually, because he had a load of merch from the bar with some beer mats and some wristbands, and he gave that all to us for one of our first gigs at Sydney Matilda, which was fun.
And are you still part of Steel Frog as well?
Yeah, I'm in all of them, in about four or five bands at the moment. As your drummer, I can just keep it going, I've just actually been in London this weekend. We had a double show, as in I played with Café Totem and then with Steel Frog, one after another, at this Far East Festival in London. It was called East London Show. It was nice, actually. It was cool. Definitely a bit of a challenge going from one band to another. It's interesting, because you're connecting with different musicians, and you have to feel, how to intervene with them, and then the drum feels are a bit different, the style of Steel Frog's a bit bouncy, whereas Café Totem is quite, I would say, a bit more progressive and I would say kind of deep, we like to build and get an atmosphere going, which is quite fun.
I mean, as a musician, how do you remember all the different melodies and songs? I mean, to say that you're in five different bands, I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, how on earth do you remember what goes well? I mean,
it's a good point. I don't really, to be honest. I mean, it's all about feel when it comes down to it. For me, anyway, as a drummer, I guess I am playing the similar things in the tunes, and we work on little bits that are always in there. Yeah. But I'm going off the feel of the track, and if I've played it enough times, I'll get to a point where I'm doing a relatively similar thing, and that works. That's in my head worked out the best thing that works for that track, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to serve the track in the best possible way I feel like I can, you know. So
I mean, a lot of musicians are still looking for that sound that they're looking for.
I mean,
have you found what you're looking for, or is it still an ongoing search?
Isn't it U2's song? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I think that's always
that's the one.
It's always pretty relevant for me, I think. But I think that's the thing in life, you know, you keep going and keep creating because you still never found what you're looking for. But yeah, in terms of the bands, like, I love what I've got with all of these bands, and yeah, we've got our mates and fan base, and they enjoy what we're doing, and you know, so I definitely found a sound with each of these bands I think I'm with.
Sure.
But that keeps developing, you know. Like, I've got a whole nother project, Frog Mango, which is like a space frog thing, but we'll talk about that another time because that's a whole different project with something exciting coming. But you know, each band's got a different thing going on, that's the thing. So yeah, but I've found a sound for sure with this band.
I've got to ask as well, I mean, how difficult is it to write a song? I mean, there's got to be so many ideas in when you're writing it, that you think, does this go well with the song, or does this not go well? I mean, it must be so difficult for you to write the song.
Yeah, well, I think it's an interesting one, actually, and I think all musicians will hear me with this, is that it can even change on the day, you know. It depends on the person, how you're feeling, and how you feel on that day, and then how it collaborates. I'm very much in the studio type of writer.
Sure.
Like, I like bouncing off other people. You know, we come with ideas that you've put together on the guitar or something, and everyone's different in that. But I definitely like bouncing off someone and being like, try this, try that. Whereas some people like writing the lyrics, a whole song, finishing it, and then bring it to the band and be like, you do this, you do that.
Yeah.
With Cafe Totem, it's definitely quite a collaborative process. And you know, we've got a variety. We've got Peter, who's the singer and the bass player, who loves coming up with up with a bass line, and he gets quite addicted to that bass line. It's like, even if we're trying to do another thing, he'll keep playing that until we all add to it, and then some magic comes out of it, you know. And then Chris, who produces our stuff, often comes up with a lot of the guitar lines, and then Bruce will add something on top of that. And Andy's always got some. He's I would call him a mathematical writer, I would say, or like intelligent the way he writes. And you know, it's important to have those different varieties in the band.
Yeah.
Because this is a five piece, so for me, that's a bit more, you know, people than I've had before in standard four pieces. And we actually did have a keyboard player, Alex, but he's not with us anymore. Not dead, but he's just not playing with us.
Thank you for clarifying.
Keyboard players seem to do that, you know. I mean, you know, in multiple bands of mine, we seem to lose keyboard players. I don't know what it is, but he might be back for a gig or two down the line. We'll see.
You know, there's a controversial new tool that's being used in creative industries. I want to get your opinion on this. I mean, if you don't want to answer it, it's completely fine, but how do you feel about using AI in creative? Because it's a tool now that a lot of people are using, but it doesn't always produce the same results.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel quite strongly about AI in music and in general, really, but AI, I do not think should be used in music in the creative sense, and I can't believe that people are utilising it like that. Like, you know, obviously Spotify, I mean, it's all money trying to do it like that, but, you know, music is meant to be about passion and emotion and creativity and something that, you know, a computer, if it's AI, it's just copying things that have been done before.
Yes.
Like, yeah, humans do take influences from other people, but they don't just completely copy something. If you listen, any AI music won't have a unique voice or a unique, you know, texture to it. And I think that now there's a lot of bands who are actually kind of going even further and being more creative and more different time signatures and things that aren't predicted because of the AI influence. But there is a side that is, in terms of production, that using AI, which can be a bit useful, which I kind of see, But I'm, you know, working quite close with a lot of producers, and it's also taken away their jobs. And
yeah.
And half of the music that we hear live is about the production.
Yes.
And, you know, recording or whatever. The production process, even the creativity, the mistakes, that comes out in the album. Some of the best bits in music and my favourite songs are the accidents or the things that weren't planned, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, no, I'm not a fan of this AI getting involved with the music. Maybe some final touches and mastering, but not in the creative process, no.
I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, I spoke to a lot of artists and filmmakers included about AI. And, I mean, I saw a trailer of a film with one of the late great actors, Val Kilmer.
Okay.
And they've recreated him in AI form. I mean, the family gave him permission to do so, but they've used his voice and his likeness in this film. I mean, I don't know how much in the film he's actually in,
right.
But they actually use his likeness and voice, and I think to myself...
And it's not his real voice.
It's
an AI version of his voice, is it?
It's an AI version of his voice.
Seems crazy.
Because unfortunately, he lost his voice due to having cancer, because he had to have a... tracheotomy,
right.
So he had to have a voice box in his, and so he couldn't speak properly, unfortunately.
Right. Well, yeah.
But they used his voice in AI form, and we also used his likeness AI, and you know, it's so frightening how alike he is, but.
And it's crazy, isn't it?
It also feels a bit distasteful, really, because it's like if a film is a box office bomb, which I hope it isn't, it could potentially ruin his career.
Yeah,
I think it's a bit
disrespectful. I mean, you're doing something that an AI, a piece of like I don't know technology, is assuming that this person would do and this person would sound like, but it's not. You know, people are unpredictable, and that's what makes us human. I think that's what's important. And like when it comes out in music, that's a great thing that can be utilized. But like predicting what someone will do and manufacturing what they do just isn't real. And
yeah.
I don't know. There's a whole depth to it. That it's a scary world with it, you know. But I'm gonna keep going with our music and getting creative with it. And I think that's the joy in it. And you know, people. I think more people are waking up to that. They understand that is. You know, music. We love it, and we've got to support it. And there's no AI that can create a live setting like. You know, you do when you play live. Like,
yeah.
We really felt that when Cafe Totem played at Yellow Arch Studios a couple weeks back, and all the, you know, the audience and the vibe in there was just perfect, and we all bounced off each other, and there was just energy in the room that is just, you know, completely separate from phones and technology. It's like, this is real human music and connectivity.
And, I mean, another thing I want to ask you was, it's like, for anybody that wants... I mean, I always ask you this, and I know I always do, every time you come in. For anybody that, like, wants to break into music, or do, like, music for... I wouldn't say career, but, like, for bits of fun and stuff like that. I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners? Because, and also, do you feel it's gone easier now we've got... digital access platforms like Spotify, Apple, Facebook?
Well, I mean, I think it's got easier to find, you know, breadth of music, for sure. I think, you know, you can find all sorts of music on streaming platforms and stuff. But, you know, it also means people don't listen in depth to music. Like, I've started listening to albums a lot more recently on CDs, and it just makes me realise that a lot of songs aren't meant to be singles, you know?
Yeah.
Like, now, streaming platforms are pushing for every song to be a single, which means it's got to be 3.5 minutes long or less, and have a hook, and people just listen to the hook, and they just promote that hook. But actually, some songs, you know, we like the elongated, like, build and the spacey thing. I think we definitely get that with Cafe Totem as well. We like a long, progressive build or whatever. And... in terms of what people should do in terms of music, just have a go, man. Everyone's always saying, oh, I wish I knew an instrument to learn it. It's like, it's never too late to learn an instrument, you know. I know people who are 80 years old and picking up a flute or a guitar or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then find passion in it. You know, it's just about enjoyment and connecting with other people. It's a language that, you know, breaks any barriers. Like, you can do it with anyone. And just keep going at it, you know what I mean? I've played for years, and you always keep finding new things and new inspirations. You listen to one song, and then I'm like, gosh, I need to practice, I need to play better, I need to do this star. It's endless, you know, and that's a great thing for me, and I think a lot of people share that passion as well.
So you've got a brand new single that's just that you've just released with your Cafe Tota. Will there be a potential new album in the future?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think we're actually, because we've all played in different bands before, we're on it with this. We're all quite passionate. We're going to keep it going. We've actually already got another tune that's pretty much ready to drop soon. So once the heat falls down from this tune, we've got another tune coming soon. I think we've already got another one recorded. And yeah, hopefully we can turn it into an EP and an album maybe. But we'll see what happens the next year. But we're all pretty keen to keep recording and yeah, and releasing.
And how long did it take for you to make the song together? I mean, did it come together quite quickly? Was it a long process?
Well, yeah, that's interesting with this tune, actually. So Beside You, it's actually been a bit of a passion project for our guitarist, saxophone player and producer, Chris. He's had this tune for a long, long time. It should really be him talking about it because it's his baby, really. But yeah, I know that he had it for... He studied music in Leeds, I think, and he had it as his project there. But it was, you know, he was definitely passionate about it and kept making it. I think there's been loads of iterations of this tune. I know that there was a mainly keyboard-based one, which is a shame because our keyboard player left and we don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I've come in on the drums and we've got this stab solo section kind of at the climax, which is fun, and it comes in quite strong at the start, which Chris is really a fan of now. So it's definitely been adapted, but yeah, it's been a long time in the making for this to be released, so we're pretty happy to get it out to the world. And we've all been, yeah, enjoying it and listening to it. It's got that smooth saxophone that just, yeah, it's a bit irresistible, I would say.
And we're going to play the song right now, so yeah. Josh, I mean, just introduce us to the song, please.
So, yeah, this is Cafe Totem's debut single, Beside You, out everywhere now. Please enjoy.
That was a great song by Cafe Tolson with Beside You. Josh, thank you for introducing that song.
Oh, of course, man. Thank you.
What a great song. And Chris was just saying in the break, you don't hear a lot of songs like that anymore, even from the big musicians.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, we've definitely tried to mix a real bit of neo-soul in there, you know, indie, progressive rock, well, a little bit. I think our other stuff's a bit more progressive, but it's quite like, mellow but happy as well, it seems
and
to be.
As I was saying before, I mean, it just felt real. It actually really felt like it was made by humans and not by a computer.
Oh,
which
thank
is,
you.
You know, because you hear a lot appreciate of people that. Using computers. I mean, there's nothing wrong with using computers. It's there's definitely a difference between using the human element and computers.
Yeah. I mean, there's a real, you can overproduce something as well and overcompress and stuff like this. And yeah, I mean, we're working with what we got when making this tune. You know, we got our own studio and, you know, self-produced by Chris, our saxophone player. And it's been a real passion project because we all care about it and we're all trying to make it work. But you know, it's like you add little bits to it.
Yeah.
That bit after the first chorus with Bruce's playing diddle-diddle, you know, that was like one of my favourite little things. You know, it's the small things that make a track, and we just added that in the studio. We had a bit of an idea, but yeah, it's, you know, we want to make something that feels real, and it's, if we're going to play it live, you know, we want it to reflect that a little bit, well, a lot, you know.
Sure.
and then have it recorded.
So how can people get a copy of your single? Is it released yet?
Released, I think, last Friday, so it's onto all streaming platforms and everything. I mean, the question is, because I'm very into my physical media at the moment, so, you know, but you can't really release, put a single just on a CD, so I think we're going to have to wait until we've got the EP to then put it on a CD and whatever and stuff, you know. But we've started making some merch, some good t-shirts and stuff, which are very own Bruce Featherstone, our guitar player. He's a bit of an artist, a bit making, so we'll be selling them at our next couple of gigs and stuff.
Well, I want to say congratulations on the new single. It's a
great single. I appreciate it.
It's called Beside You by Cafe
Tortum.
I want to wish you all the best of luck in the future and
thank you, man.
Looking forward to the new EP when it comes out.
Yeah, I hope it's coming soon. We'll keep grinding with it. You know, as I say, I can drop, we've got a new single off, you know, after this one, Rugged Minds, it's called. That's going to come out soon. If people have seen us live, they'll know what that sounds like. It's got a good bit of energy. But yeah, if you want to catch us live, we're playing at Abbeydale Ballroom on the 2nd of July. We're doing a little festival. I think that's going ahead. So yeah, that should be good. They've revamped it there. I don't know if you've seen Abbeydale Ballroom. They've redone it. It looks good. Yeah, it looks good, yeah.
I'll have to take a look because I don't usually venture around that area.
Yeah,
neither do I so much. Now you mention, I might...
Mate, come along.
Mate,
make
some time for it. Just before we move on as well, the drum bit, your bit.
Oh, yeah.
I was saying to you as well, it was very akin to the late, great Neil Peart.
Oh,
a hero of
yours,
I understand.
Huh? He's a hero of mine, for sure, yeah.
You do have a Rush t-shirt.
I always have the Rush t-shirt on. Neil Peart, that's the greatest, you know, compliment I could get, yeah. Well, if I can only try and add snippets like him, you know. I just need more toms. I need a whole
surrounded. If you turn around or swivel around, you're like, well, drum there.
Yeah, I need a real swivelly chair. But, yeah, to get elements from Neil Peart, I mean, what an incredible hero. He's, you know, endless. And creativity and imagination, you know, the legend of Cyrix, you know, 2112, like, he's just got, and the fact that he writes the lyrics and, you know, writes, which, you know, is something that I definitely want to get involved with. Like, I'm very creative, if anyone will have seen my projects. But yeah, Neil Peart, what a hero. So you can see I'm a bit influenced by that with that film.
Yeah, just unfortunately we're not going to see him next year.
Yeah, but
with the Rush tour.
Yeah.
We have got a very good replacement in Annika Niles.
Yeah, Annika Niles, what a drummer. She's amazing. You know, it's hard to replace Neil Peart in any way.
Fact they've, like, thoroughly chosen someone to be the right person.
Yeah. Well, I heard Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson both saying, you know, they obviously never thought they'd play again. And then, you know, I think someone told them about Annika Niles and they were like, okay, let's give this a shot. And then, yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah. I mean, they've been practicing non-stop. I've seen videos and stuff.
They carry on like nobody's business.
Yeah,
exactly. They just don't stop. They're still grafters to this day.
Yeah.
Have been for the last 50 plus years.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes great musicians, really, that, you know, non-stop consistency and making, you know, hundreds of tracks and you know, plenty of albums. Like, you know, I think that's what it is about, doing it because you love it. And those guys, I know Alex Lifeson especially, he's been taking some like wellness retreats and stuff, because half of doing a tour as big as this for Rush, you know, it's like a physical challenge, you know, a lot
around the world as well.
Yeah, a lot of musicians have been lost to because their body can't, you know, hack it, so, you know, drugs and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm so glad that they're playing again. I always, one thing, I'm gutted when my dad didn't take me to a Rush gig, but now we're properly going, so that's going to be fun. Yeah,
a little fun fact about Alex Lifeson, actually.
Oh, yeah?
He was inspired by Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, really? That makes sense.
That's how he's got his fantastic guitar in now.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, Jimmy Page, you know, can't fault him. Yeah,
can't beat a bit of Zeppelin either.
Yeah, exactly. And Zeppelin and Rush. Yeah, exactly. I'm happy. If you got CDs to them in a room, I'll be happy for a good time.
Posters, CDs, or what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, I've gone through my dad's CD collection recently, and I've got a load of hidden gems of like Rush CDs that he's burnt himself, and Led Zeppelin stuff. We've got this random Led Zeppelin album, which is a live album from like 1979 or something. It's like pretty one of a kind. He got it off a mate, and it's a bit, you know, niche. And yeah, that's why sometimes these CDs are great rather than streaming platforms. Yeah, you know, you can find some gems. So I'm yet to listen
CDs
to that.
CDs are still very. I know vinyl's become huge over the years.
Yeah, which is good as well.
CDs still very much big.
Yeah, well, they're easy and they're great and they're good quality, you know. So I've got them in my car, so I was just playing them, and it's good stuff, you know. And this one actually is in my car as well. You know?
Yes, we are going to move on to a song that Josh had brought up just earlier during the interview, by a certain band from Ireland. Possibly the most successful band from Ireland, actually.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least one of.
They are the most successful band.
Chris can confirm.
We can confirm. But we are going to jump into some U2 with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and just enjoy this song.
Tune. Bye.
I hear God, highest The Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go. There's a place I must go. It's not a place I have seen.
You two with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For here on Communities Live, taken from the album The Joshua Tree, which is a great album.
Oh, great tune, man, great tune. And
thank you for mentioning it earlier, otherwise we possibly wouldn't have played it today.
Yeah, oh, it's nice. It's one of those tunes you always go back to, you know, and I feel like it's relatable to a lot of people, and they've got that sound, you know, Bono and, yeah, spaciness, bit reduction.
Do you?
And you know what? This is going to lead into our next topic, but I don't know if you guys know this, but did you know Bono and The Edge wrote the song for GoldenEye?
Really?
They actually wrote it. I mean, Tina Turner sung it.
Yeah,
but it was
say.
Bono and The Edge that actually wrote GoldenEye.
It's cool when, you know, these musicians like write endless things that you don't actually see, you know.
Sometimes they don't get credited for it.
Yeah, exactly. But they probably don't mind about it, you know, and it's a bit of an enjoyment project.
I did it. They just say, I did it.
Yeah, I did that. So then Chris can find all these niche facts on them and bring them up on the radio. It's a bit of fun facts, you know.
I mean, speaking of GoldenEye, though, I mean, that's one of the classic games. And also, I think the film is brilliant as well. I really enjoy the
oh, yeah.
The great. It's a great film in my eyes. I mean, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's definitely Brosnan's best. So
yeah, definitely.
By far, but yeah.
The
film itself is great. I feel like it's just eclipsed by the game, though, because like the legacy of the game is so incredible. The film itself, no matter how good it can be, it doesn't quite measure up to it, but it's still a great film.
Well, you know, I've heard some interesting stuff about the GoldenEye video game. Apparently, it wasn't going to be a first-person shooter to start with. It was going to be an arcade game. Oh. It was going to be a light gun kind of game. So that would have been... I don't know what to think about that, to be honest.
Couldn't picture that.
Apparently, we were having that many... problems during development that it weren't going to make the actual release of the film, so we had to delay it for another 2 to 3 years to get it up to scratch. But Nintendo wanted it cancelled, but the team who were doing it, Rare, just ignored them and just carried on with the development. And
well, I'm glad they
the
did.
Multiplayer, I mean, the multiplayer was fantastic. But do you know there's only one person that's actually developed a multiplayer? Out of the whole team, yes. I don't know his name, but there was only one person that actually worked on the multiplayer. And to turn out like that, I mean, that was a miracle.
Yeah. It's funny that you bring that up, because that's one of the only games that I really played for a while. You know, I got it on Wii, and it's a great game. Great soundtrack.
And they've got a new James Bond game that's come out as well. It's called 007 First Light. Which is made by IO Interactive, who was famous for the Hitman games.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you played Hitman, you're definitely going to see elements in that for the new James Bond game. But does it beat GoldenEye? No, I don't think so.
I don't think anything will.
But I will say it is definitely up there with the best games. I think it's come a close second, I'll say. I don't want to spoil too much into it, but... Patrick Gibson is the new James Bond. You also got Lenny James from The Walking Dead, who is his teacher. Oh, well, a teacher in a way, yeah, mentor. He's teaching him how to become the next, become 007. I don't want to spoil too much into it, because it's one of those games that you've got to play for yourselves, but... They do leave it open for a sequel, but I will say that. But whether they will return for the sequel remains to be seen, though. But it's made 1.5 billion copies sold. It's cost £200 million to make, and it took over 7 years to build the game.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Hopefully they've started on the second one already, then, otherwise...
So, well, I hope it's not going to take as long as 7 years to make the sequel, because it's interesting, really, because it's also Amazon who's got the license now for the games. Okay. So
they got everything, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, the way Amazon started with the Bond franchise was we made it into a game show. It was called 007 Road to a Million, and no, it did not work, I don't think.
In short.
In short. I mean, yeah, it was just awful.
Really?
I mean,
it's an iconic series. I don't really understand what they're going to do with the new James Bond. They're talking about a new James Bond, but...
Yes.
You know, he's died in the last one. Sorry to spoil that with everyone.
I mean,
don't know if they might go back and find his roots, because someone was talking about this the other day. They haven't got like a making of James Bond.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? His early
days. We've seen Casino Royale, that where he earned his 00 license. Mm. I mean, that was his first ever mission. But yeah, I think it would have been interesting how they actually made the man himself before he became a 00. Yeah.
Obviously, in Skyfall, they go back to where he was brought up in Scotland and stuff like that, and you know how he was treated, and maybe that's what led to him because he was an orphan or something. So that was a good insight into what was going on.
But saying that, though, I mean, they've actually covered that kind of aspect in this game.
Okay.
So they actually cover how he got his 00 license and how he became.
Yeah.
Part of
there's
but
often more info in the game than there is in the film sometimes.
It is,
I mean? It's interesting.
I mean, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't like the last film. I hated it.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately. Yeah. I was looking forward to it, but when I heard the rumours, I didn't want to believe it. And unfortunately, the rumours did.
It was a bit confusing, I think. Skyfall was good. I think Spectre was good. But yeah, this last one, I can't remember what. No Time to Die.
No Time to Die, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Skyfall was brilliant. One of the
that was amazing.
James Bond films.
And yeah, Spectre. The Adele tune, I think that's one of my favourite James Bond tunes, I think. Because obviously they all got iconic songs. Live and Let Die was obviously,
one of the best ones. Awesome. Goldfinger, I mean.
Yeah, Goldfinger.
I actually like A View to a Kill by Duran Duran. That was one of the best
ones. No, that was actually. Yeah, a bit different. Obviously, Duran Duran's got an iconic style. And to use that in James Bond was quite cool. Yeah. But yeah, it's good to have the variety. You know,
and I think this one was a bit underrated. As I spoke before, Tina Turner, Goldeneye. I think that was a bit underrated because that's got a classic kind of vibe to it.
I think
we're all coming to the end of the show, but we are going to treat everybody because we've mentioned Goldeneye a few times in the last few minutes. We're going to treat you to the actual song to end the show in just a few moments. But it's been a fantastic show today. Don't need to express how fantastic it's been. Josh, thank you again for coming in.
Mate, thanks for
having me. We always love seeing you.
Ah, it's great. It's always great to come down, you know. I'll be back, I'm sure.
You definitely will be back, hopefully, in the new building as well. Hopefully, we'll be moving in the next couple of months. End of this month or next month.
That's exciting to hear.
Quite soon, yes.
New building for Sheffield Live and also maybe a bar downstairs so that can be enjoyed.
Well, that's the plan, fingers crossed.
Gold fingers crossed, eh?
Before we finish, Chris, quickly, how can you get involved with the show and if there's any guests like Josh who want to come on the show and promote items or just come and have a chat?
Yes, we are currently looking for volunteers or guests who want to come on the show, like Josh or any of you guys like Lewis, Oliver and Bradley. So, I mean, how did you find us, Bradley?
My work coach helped me get in touch with you.
And what about you, Lewis?
A wonderful little birdie mentioned it to me, who's currently sat in this room.
Who could that be? God only knows.
Yeah.
And what about you, Oliver?
Similar to Brad, my work coach at the time told me about it, who knew you from years ago, and I heard of the show in general anyways from years back, so thought I'd get involved.
And Josh, you've just sent me a nice little
email. I just tune into Sheffield Live, to be honest. I'm driving around Sheffield now. There's no station like Sheffield Live, I've got to say it. Honestly, like, every other station plays the one sort of genre. Sheffield Live, you never know what you're going to get. You know, it goes from, you know, folk to Indian to Afrofusion to jazz.
Definitely.
I love that about it. So I just thought, you know what, I'll give Sheffield Live an email and, see if I can get on. And here I am. It's great to chat. So.
And if you ever want to come and join us, I mean, as a guest or a volunteer, I mean, you can get in touch with us on our Commuters Live Facebook page. We also have our very own Sheffield Live website, or you can contact me at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. Again, you can get in contact with us at chrisandelly89@gmail.com. We have our very own Sheffield Live website where you can follow us on, and you can follow us on Facebook at Commuters Live. So, Oliver, you've got our next last track.
And here is GoldenEye. Thank you all for listening. Thank you.
reflections on the water, more than darkness in the depths. See him surface in every shadow.